the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. 320.
Thank you.
us to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Thank you, Ben. Kind and merciful and gracious Lord God, it is indeed thy kindness and goodness that we are able to come once again into thy courts this evening. We do seek and pray thy blessing, that blessing of God that makes rich. Dear Lord Jesus, we think of what thou didst say to poor Martha, who was like we are so many times, encumbered about much serving. But thou didst say regarding Mary that she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, by thy blessed Spirit, may we this evening choose that good part. May we be ready to hear thy voice. May we be ready to receive thy word in our heart. We do seek that thou wouldst draw near and nigh unto us. We ask thee, dear Lord, to come here in our midst this evening, and be found as the master of the assembly. Dear Lord, do be found in divine control, control over each and every one of us, so that we hear to the good and joy and the profit of our souls, the glory of thy name, and thou would be in control of a poor man, so that we utter those things that are consistent with thy heavenly mind and will. We may be kept and preserved from ourselves. We may be helped to point to thy redeeming blood and say, Behold the way to God. That sinners may be blessed and thy name honoured and glorified. We do seek, dear Lord, that thou wouldest come then, open the windows of heaven this evening and pour out a blessing. Again, Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant that there may be a Ruth's portion, so that gleaners in the field of a heavenly Boaz may gather to their soul's God and to thy praise. They may have that which to gather up and take home and beat it out before thee at the blessed throne of grace, at the footstool of mercy. They may obtain the ephah of barley, the blessing. Gracious Lord, do hear our prayers. We ask and pray that thou remember each one as they've come, and knowest how each one has come, and knowest the desires that are found in each one's heart this evening hour. And we ask and pray in order thou would abundantly bless. Oh, and that thou would satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry with good things. And pray that there may be those droplets of water from salvation's wells, the crumbs from the Master's table, that which will do them good. Then hear us in these things. We do ask and pray that thou wilt bless us now. We ask and pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt remember us each and help us to bow our head before thee, confession of all our sin and guilt. And oh, that in doing so, we may be washed and cleansed in and by and through the precious blood of Jesus, that it cleanses from all sin, all uncleanness. Then, dear Lord, do take us. One says, take us with thine hands and plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. Oh, how thankful, Lord, we are to read that there is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, the house of David and inhabitants of Jerusalem. A fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Now knowest, Lord, where the weight, the burden of guilt lies and falls in sinners' hearts. So that, Lord, there will be, Lord, that looking heavenward, that cry, feeble cry it may be, but oh, inspired there by the Holy Spirit to a poor sinner, then do hear us, we pray. Oh, that thou art pardoned then, forgive every sin, every iniquity, and receive us graciously. Our Lord, and may we each be blessed with that true godly sorrow and repentance over sin and iniquity, and may we each know that broken heart, that contrite spirit, so that we're found in the word of the prophet, that to this man will I look, even to him with a broken heart, contrite spirit, trembleth at thy word, do then hear us. We ask thee to remember once again, dear Lord, this little cause of troth, and do bless them together, and do bind them together in love and unity and the bond of peace. May thy goodness pass before them. May there be signs following the preaching of thy word, so that sinners are abundantly blessed, so that sinners know that thou art their God, and their Saviour, and their Redeemer, so that they can say, why me, O blessed God, why, so wretched as I, must revel in hell, were not salvation free? Oh, that thou graciously work, Lord. Oh, that thy servants, as they come here to preach in thy name, may be under the gracious anointing power of the Holy Spirit. There may be the word accompanied where the thus saith of the Lord, which go forth with power. Then do hear our prayers. We do pray thou bless them together and bind them in love and unity and the bond of peace. And we ask and pray also that thou wilt bless the young ones again. Lord, do bless their souls. They're thankful to see and hear little ones in the congregation. And pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt abundantly bless them. Oh, that they may have a good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. May, Lord, their soul be on the stretch to find Christ and to know him. Then do graciously work. We pray that thou'll remember each and all. There are others, Lord, that need thee in different ways. Different ages, have different exercises, different concerns. Dear Lord, thou knowest the concern of each and every one that it needs and feels to need to be prepared for eternity. And our Lord, and whether young or old, Lord, it will be, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform. It is all of grace in Christ's obedience clothed. Wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. The dear psalmist said, Lord, make me to know mine end. Oh, dear Lord, we may indeed be fit and prepared for heaven and for glory, to be made right and kept right. Lord, we cannot make ourselves right because we are sinners. We need the righteousness of Jesus to be given and granted to us. We need pardon sealed. We need everything that's found in Christ, our living head. Then draw near and nigh to us this evening. Pray, dear Lord, that thou hast come. Oh, and Lord, do be here, we pray. Now remember others, Lord, that we would bear before thee. There are some, Lord, unable to come to the house of God because of age, infirmity and affliction. Remember them, bless them this evening. Help them and strengthen them, support them. And others may be home looking after little ones. Some may be sick, afflicted. Whatever the reason, Lord, do draw near and nigh unto them and bless them, we pray. Oh, that the little ones may go to sleep so that the parent can read thy word and meditate thereon. Then do be very near, we pray. We ask, Lord, that thou remember then each and all. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt hear prayer. For others, Lord, that are walking in bereavement's path, comfort their hearts. Support them, sustain them, hold them up, be near to them. Oh, we know of some, two in particular, Lord, that our friend Phyllis Simmons down at Heathfield and our friend Mr. John Stevens from Ripley at the moment. Oh, we ask thee to comfort their hearts as they are called to walk in bereavement's path. And as they've yet to stand around the grave of their near ones, we do pray that thou be very gracious to them. Hold them up, strengthen them, support them. Oh, that they may not mourn as those that mourn without hope. Oh, do be very near. Oh, and may the death of one and another, Lord, be the means of calling, quickening some souls into eternal life. There may be that concern, how stands the case, my soul, with thee, for heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Then, Lord, do hear us. Our Lord, and we've each to come. We've each, Lord, to come to the same place as our departed friends. Dear Lord, we one day it will be our funeral that is announced. Oh, to be ready, to be right, to have our receipt stamped and marked paid in the Redeemer's blood. Do then hear our prayers. We pray for those in sickness and affliction's path, to put thy hand and heal them and restore them. Some have to undergo treatment, one kind and another. Others have to undergo the surgeon's hand. Oh, but whatever, we do pray thou would abundantly bless. Thou bring them through. If it please thee, restore at health and strength. Some, Lord, they carry with them an afflicted body and expect to do so to their end. Oh, dear Lord, do grant them strength equal to the day and be very near to them. And very gracious. Oh, that they may have that sweet hope as well while life endures and well when called to die. We pray for those that have left and forsaken the house of God. And sadly, Lord, we each have them in our family circle somewhere. We do ask thee to convince of sin, to draw by thy resistless love, to constrain them once more to turn again to their Father's house. And those that, Lord, may be feeding on the husks that the swine eat, Lord, we do ask that thou wilt not allow them to continue, that thou wilt grant them a gracious appetite, so that they too will seek the living bread of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Again, we pray for the dear people in Africa, the terrible disease of Ebola there, or that it may be eradicated. Remember those that attempt to help them, nurse them. Lord, they need thy help. We do pray thou grant protection. We beseech thee. We ask and pray that thou wilt remember this poor world. Thou knowest there's much war and bloodshed and much conflict. Could it please to bring peace in the world, that men may learn war no more, to then hear us. Oh, we do thank thee for all the kindness and goodness to us, the mercies which we daily and hourly receive, comforts that abound. We thank thee for the house of God, the open Bible. Thank thee for thy beloved Son. And Lord, we pray thou be with us. We need thy help. Lord, and at the close of the present service, Lord, a few poor sinners, thy world will assemble around thy table to do as thou hast bidden in remembrance of thee. Lord, we come, see a poor sinner, dearest Lord, his soul encouraged by thy word. Mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look, and look again. Then do help us. We need thy help, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest come and pour in, that we might pour out. Without thee, Lord, we cannot do nothing. Then do graciously help. Oh, that this service may not pass by without there being something done in the great and worthy name of Jesus. Then hear us, help us, and bless us. Come then, fulfill thy word, thy promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. So we plead the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. 927.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask Your prayerful attention again to John's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 46. John chapter 7 and verse 46. Never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. Why, as we said this morning, the words of the Lord Jesus, yes, they're mighty. They're gracious. Yes, and mentioning Peter, why, and who, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But we also said that sometimes the Lord asks some questions. Never man spake like this man. This man. The God-man, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And sometimes there was solemn warnings that he gave. Solemn questions for you and I to ask ourselves. And before we come to parts of John 16, I want to look at John 15. Never man spake like this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every branch, not some, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. What a solemn thing to be cut off. Yes, chastening. No chastening for the present tempted joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And that what we here understand about the pruning, every branch that beareth, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. But the branch that brings forth no fruit, he taketh away. Never man spake like this man. Oh, friends, where do we stand? Where do we stand in his sight? Yes, sinner. And why, he says, my Father is the husbandman. It's not anyone else, friends. It's the blessed Lord. The one that makes no mistakes. Yeah. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every branch. Never man spake like this. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we abiding in his ways? Do we keep close unto him in prayer and supplication that we ask him to preserve and keep us from sin and iniquity. Or ends, my trow, never man spake like this man. You know, sometimes we often perhaps quote that a verse from the psalm, search me, O God, and try me, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, here, there will be this searching. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Yes, the Lord tries the righteous. Where I used to live, a man next door, he had an apple tree. And yes, I don't say this in criticism, he really didn't know what to do with it. And he said to me one day something about it, and I said, what it needs, Brian, I said, is pruning. Yes, but he said, if I prune it, I don't get so much fruit. Friends, the Lord is not concerned with the quantity. The Lord is concerned with the quality. You can have an apple tree, unpruned. All it produced, why, the fruit won't be much good. Be bad before it's any size, falls off. It doesn't bring forth any fruit to maturity. Ah, friends, yeah. Why through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason, but we shall hereafter know each in his due season. You know what you read here. The words of Jesus in John 13. Why, the Lord was washing the disciples' feet, wasn't he? Well, Peter says, you're not washing my feet, Lord. He says, what I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And dear soul, and the same thing will be here. When the Lord, yes, I say it reverently, puts in the secateurs and cuts pieces off. But remember, he's cut them off for your good and mine. He's cut them off, dear soul, for his own honour and glory, more to the point. Yes, that this vine, this branch will bring forth more fruit. Never man spake like this man. And so there are these things that the Lord, yes, how he works. There's one other thing before I move on. And that's found again in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in the 7th chapter. Now, I've been perhaps, well, avoiding it, but you see here, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what meat, with what ye measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Well, you know, those that brought in that woman that we spoke of this morning in John chapter 8, Yes. They didn't see the mote in their own eye. They only saw the mote in the eye of this poor woman. They only saw that she was wrong. Oh, and they rushed to judgment, condemn her, stone her to death. Ah, what does the Lord say to us by his servant Ezekiel? He says, turn thine eyes within, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And dear Zion, if the Lord open your eyes and mine, we shall cry out. Yes, for the Lord to have mercy upon us, to cleanse us from secret faults and sins, and create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us, which is say with David, my sin is ever before me, which come confessing. Oh, and what a mercy we come, confessing with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and trembling at his word. Because the Lord says, unto this man will I look. Never man spake like this man. Hymn writer says, in hymn 762, I think it is, how soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. Yes, then the dear Lord does speak precious words, precious promises. Why, I really didn't know where we should read tonight, but you know, here in John 14, the disciples, yes, you and I know the first verse, the first two or three verses. But the disciples were in trouble. They were in distress. They were in sadness. The Lord has told them he's going away. And that where he's going, the time they could not come. But yes, how soft the words my Saviour speaks. How kind the promises he makes. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, let not your heart be troubled. Why, he says, does he not? I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. You see, these favoured disciples, why, Jesus meant everything to them, did he not? Dear soul, and what does he mean to you? What does he mean to you? Is he the altogether lovely? Is he the chiefest among 10,000? The Song of Solomon says that his mouth is most sweet, yea, is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And when the Lord speaks, do a poor troubled heart. See, the Lord gets right down to where you and I are found. Let not your heart be troubled. Your heart is troubled. It may be troubled over a variety of things and circumstances. It may be like the disciples, you say, the Lord's going away. You know, there was a verse there in John 16, 12. I have many things. I've yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Never man spake like this. Yes, another thing of the dear Lord, very faithful, isn't he? He doesn't say one thing and mean another. His word shall not pass away. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Why, yes, we could say knowledge is withheld. We could say because we're not strong enough. It could be because of immaturity, spiritual immaturity. That doesn't mean, dear soul, that the Lord is not going to say something to you. But that time has not come yet. Boy, you think of dear Samuel. He was only a lad when the Lord spoke to him, and he's convinced that it was Eli that had called him. No, Eli said, I didn't call you. Go down, lay down again. He heard it a second time, didn't he? I think a third time, if memory's correct. And Eli perceives that the Lord has spoken to him. And instructs him what to do, how to answer. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Sometimes in life's pathway, particularly when we're young, we perhaps think that we're able to do something, and perhaps those over us in authority will restrain us and say, no, you're not going to do it, because they don't feel that you and I are capable of doing such things. Dear soul, the Lord is the same. He knows whether you and I are capable of doing things in his hand for him. And why? And he knows also that what he will say unto us. Again, the vision is for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will surely come. And it will not tarry. And though it tarry, wait for it. Yes, and why, as one goes on in life's pathway, you may, maybe something that you want to do, you want to get on with. But it is all, you cannot hurry the Lord. And he will not be hurried by you and yet me. I have yet many things. Yes, and where will he take us? It'll be, my friends, we shall be taken into the school of Christ, if I can put it like that. Into the school of Christ. I have yet many things to say unto you. And why? And you see, he fits us and prepares us and qualifies us for his will. Yes. And it may be and is very often in affliction's path, where the Lord visits, where the Lord draws near, where divine instruction is received. Why, sometimes, you know, it is as we were, we sit there and we just listen. We take in all that has been said unto us. Our ears are open. The Lord speaks. And why, we may be like Manoah and his wife, we look on whilst the angel of the Lord does wondrously. Sometimes you and I might be like Manoah himself. We come to the wrong conclusion. We say we should surely die. But we may be like his dear wife and come to the correct conclusion. If the Lord were meant to kill us, would he have shown us all these things? Never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. When in a deep exercise is put and placed in the heart of one of God's children, yes, and the Lord speaks. What was that we quoted there from the hymn? How kind the promises he makes. Well, how kind the promises he makes. You see, there sitting, laying, maybe on your bed of affliction, as it has been with some of us. You're now there for our sorrow. But I will see you again. Evidence that the Lord has visited your soul and mine at least once before. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Afflictions make us see what else would escape our sight, how very foul and dim are we, and him how pure and bright. Yes, is a woman, as Jesus says here, in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. As soon as she delivereth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. You now therefore have sorrow. But I wanted to look at this. Why, there's John 14 as well. Why, there's a little while. And the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Never man spake like this man, because I live, ye shall live also. How kind the promises he made. Never man spake like this man. Yes, the disciples, they had a body of sin and death, the same as you and I. And why? And he says to them, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, yes, to one that is tried, concerned, and perhaps, if I may put it like this, devil hunted and devil dragged, that you cannot be saved. Your name cannot be found in the Lamb's Book of Life, says the adversary. But it is all, you see, the Lord says, yes, because I live, ye shall live also. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You think of it. The eternal Son of God. Ah, poor though I am, despised, forgot, yet Jesus my Lord forgets me not. I will come to you. Yet a little while. Yes. I think it's in the Proverbs. It speaks something about absence, making the heart grow fonder. Why, and isn't that so? Naturally, with those that we love, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Why, we just want to be with the one we love. And how much more so with the dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, we want to be with the one we love. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yes. I will come. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. But ye see me. The Lord gives to his people the eye of faith. And they're in their trials, they're in their distresses, their bereavements, their afflictions, and they prove this, that but ye shall see me. Seeing Christ, seeing Jesus, to a poor soul that's devil hunted and devil dragged, seeing Jesus in your place, room instead. Amazing grace. Sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. Yes, ye see me. But ye see me. But again, never man spake like this man. Verse 27. Why, what blessed word. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, the dear hymn writer says, doesn't he, here in that beautiful hymn, peace by his cross, as Jesus made the church's everlasting head, o'er hell and sin as victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. When all thy shade, when all thy head the billows roll, and shades of skin obscure thy soul, when thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man thy peace shall be. This man thy peace shall be. Peace I leave with you. Peace by his cross. The peace of God that passeth all knowledge and understanding. Dear soul that I buried a short while ago, she was abundantly blessed on one particular occasion and hearing part of this chapter, I think it was, that I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And she said, and left on record, oh, this peace. She said, I didn't want anything else. I didn't feel to be in this world. I sat in the car, she said, after the service, and my thoughts were with Jesus. My thoughts were in heaven. What must it be to there? If I say put it like this, later in life, not long before she died for that part, she said, oh, if only I could have that peace that I had on that occasion. She said it was undescribable. And friends, it is undescribable when we have peace. When, especially when we're given to think and meditate as to how this peace was bequeathed unto us by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. Peace I leave with you. You see, it is all again here. The Lord Jesus starts this chapter here, let not your heart be troubled. Here in this 27th verse, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. Yes, the dear words of the prophet come to mind. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, we mentioned the dying thief this morning, didn't we? Well, his heart was troubled there on Calvary's cross, was it not? Paying the due reward of his deeds. But when he prayed, and when the Lord answered him, he knew something of this peace. And he knew something of this word, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, this day. Shalt thou be with me in paradise? Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, save the wretch like me. But again, why, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like the dear Lord Jesus in prayer, did he? Did they? No man ever prayed like the Lord. No man could pray like the Lord Jesus. He was the eternal Son of God. He had no sin. He was holy, he was harmless. Yes, but he says here, yes, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He says here, I pray for them. I pray for them. Who are these? All that the Father give me shall come. All that the Father give me shall come. Not a hoof shall be left behind. He will and does say by his grace, dear soul. I pray for them. You know, these are their found. These are named here, them. They're all in the covenant of grace. Yes. Never man spake like this man. I pray for them. Yes.
What does Malachi say? Why, he says to us this, doesn't he? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance is written before him for them that feared his name. For them. I pray for them. They are my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. I love the line to the hymn, by covenant, transaction and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine, and for them my life did resign. They're mine, they're his, because he's paid the price, the redemption of their soul with his own heart's blood. But again, oh, so much here, isn't there? Never man spake like this man. Father, I will that they also. You know, I cannot quote this verse without I think of Peter's word in First Epistle, 2nd chapter, 7th verse. And unto you therefore which believe is precious. Peter speaking of the Lord Jesus being precious to his people. But you know, it is, oh, that preciousness is not just one-sided. Oh, the church, his people are precious unto him. It says, Father, will that they also whom thou hast given me. See, they were given to him yonder back in eternity. And that, why, he says, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Given me where I am. See, in heaven, in glory. And he will not be satisfied, not until the last vessel of mercy is redeemed by his precious blood and joins that holy, happy place where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. Father, I will that they also, yet they also, yes, the woman at the well, they also, the Samaritans there that believed on his word, they also. The poor woman that washed his feet with tears, they also. The poor Peter that denied knowing anything about him. Denied with oaths and curses. Father, I will that they also be with me where I am. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Yes, when the last vessel of mercy is then quickened into life, redeemed by his blood and brought home to God. Yes. Be with me where I am. Yes, shut in with Christ. Oh, amazing, isn't it? To be shut in. The thought is all of being shut in with Christ. Never man spake like this man. When I say that, I think of the five wise and five foolish virgins. You see, the wise were shut in. Never man spake like this man. The foolish were shut out. Oh, how discriminating his work is. But again, know, time seemed to be going. But why, never man spake like this man. There have been in the history of the world a few men that have given some pronounced and well-known made speeches. One just thinks of Winston Churchill. The last war, he made a speech something like this, that never before in the field of human conflict has so many been indebted to so few. Something like that. But you know, there's all that sinks into insignificance when you and I consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "It is finished." What was finished? The blessed, glorious work of redemption for his people. Yes, never forget, dear soul, that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, and that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he came to fulfill God's holy, righteous law on their behalf. And that he imputed unto them. He took their sin and granted them his righteousness. Yes, dear soul, he took their sin. And their sin was nailed to his cross. Yes. The soldier pierced his side, his throat, and I have pierced him through and through. He cried, "It is finished." Yes, the amazing words of grace, the amazing words of comfort and consolation to God's dear people. Finished all the types and shadows. Finished, the work of redemption. He's paid here. He was paying the price with his own heart's blood. There could be, and there was, no remission of sin, but with and by the shedding of blood. And how many animals had been slain through the years, representing our Lord Jesus Christ, making atonement for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. And dear John says, does he not, in the opening chapter of this gospel, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Yes, dear soul, take away the sin of the world. Yes, it is finished. Yes. Love's redeeming work is done. Love's redeeming work is done. Divine justice is satisfied. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Say, my soul, why not for thee? But another thought just comes to mind, if you'll bear with me. And that is all is here in the closing chapter of John's Gospel. The disciples had been fishing. And they come and they find that Jesus is there. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which he have now caught. And Simon went up, and Jesus said this, come and dine. Come and dine. I draw this bow at a venture. Is there a poor sinner? Yes, shortly. The Lord will, a few of us will gather round this table to do as the Lord has bidden in remembrance of him. Come and dine. Come and dine. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Let's go on. The Lord says to Peter, lovest thou me? Yes. And knowest I love thee. Three times this was, wasn't it? And knowest that I love thee. And then the Lord tells him, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, walkest whether thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, that stretch forth thy hand, and another should gird thee, and carry whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, he looks round. Doesn't say here, but it's evident that he saw John, the dear disciple of the Lord, loved equally with Peter. And Peter sees him, and he said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, never man spake like this man. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £585.60, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day, we hope to hold a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. 1149. Thank you.
bless thine own word, because no one speaks like thee, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst speak to our heart and souls. Ah, Lord, it may be as thy word this day that does not return of thee void. Meet with us now round thy table in remembrance of thee. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, love of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.